From Revelation, chapter 22. Just read a few verses. We've heard the whole chapter read. Perhaps verse 2 to 5. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever.
I think we should mention that the tree of life is in the paradise of God. According to what the Spirit says in Revelation 2, verse 7, and it's to the saint that overcometh in the Ephesus, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Mm. And to our knowledge, paradise is only mentioned 3 times in Scripture. One here, the place where the tree of life is. Secondly, the place where the malefactor, having trusted in the Lord Jesus at the very last hour of his life, had the promise to dwell that very day. Today, I'd say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. The third mention of paradise is important for us. It's in 2 Corinthians 12, where it is identified with the third heaven. The higher place in heaven, where the Apostle Paul was called, whether in spirit or materially, we don't know, he didn't tell us, but where the church is. So in Revelation 22, the Holy City is in paradise. In paradise there is the tree of life. And following what the remark my brother Johnson said made this morning, very often it's difficult to say whether it's heavenly or earthly and what's the connection between the two. I think an interesting point is relating to the promise in Revelation 22 that his servants shall serve him, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. It's the opposite to those who have the mark of the beast, you know, who have in fact relinquished their will to the will of the devil. Contrary to this, there is also a promise to the overcomer in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, it says in Revelation 3, because thou hast kept the verse 10 of the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Behold, I come quickly. He that overcometh will I make a figure in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. This is the privilege of those in the heavenly city. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Definitely, this is a heavenly position, heavenly blessing. But concerning the earth, we find the very same expression in Revelation 14, with those believers, or the remnant at least from the Israels, from the people of Israel, and they having his father's name written on their foreheads.
Do you not regard the reference to paradise in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, as a reference to paradise? Is that not a reference to paradise there? Sorry? It says, you see, in Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 13, thy ships are a paradise of pomegranates, with precious fruits, henna, with spikenard plants. You don't consider that to be a paradise view. I always thought that was the fourth reference to paradise. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 13. Thy shoots are a paradise of pomegranates. I'm no expert in Hebrew, but I've been told that that is actually paradise. Say, hey, Adam, you might be able to help us since it's in Hebrew.
Basically, paradise is a place of the, delight. It's a Persian garden, of beautiful flowers and trees. That's the enjoyment. Probably in the Song of Solomon is something like this, but definitely paradise in the three scriptures of the New Testament refers to it seems to be a spiritual place. Excuse me, I just want to interrupt 1 second. I owe you an apology because I used this morning the word headache, which is French. So it's campfire. But where
just on the word paradise, it does occur. I have the references in my head, but Wickram's Hebrew concordance, Englishman's Hebrew concordance, will show the word paradise occurs 3 times in the Old Testament. And so it makes 6. But if you have the Latin Vulgate, you get the 7th, because the Garden of Eden is so described there. But really, it's 3 in this specialized significance that we have in the New Testament.
Well, the thing is that this word paradise in the Old Testament in Hebrew is probably a Persian word which normally does not mean paradise. Our word paradise is derived from it, but in the Old Testament, in the German version of Darby even, it is not translated paradise. In one place is Nehemiah 1:2 verse 8, and there it says it was the keeper of the king's forest.
Yeah.
And the word forest here is this Hebrew paradise, which is in the footnote of the English Bible translation, given as paradise, but it's clear that it does not have that meaning here. Even in the Song of Songs, in the German J&D version, it is a pleasure garden. The translation is lucid garden, pleasure garden. And I failed to find the third place. And there is also something about pleasurous gardens. So I doubt whether one could apply these to the word, to the paradise of which we are speaking here. In the New Testament, Greek is also derived from the same Persian root. There it applies clearly to the paradise of which we have been speaking in Luke and in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, and in Revelation.
And an interesting point is that the name of the Lord is on the forehead of the servants. And it is the same blessing as for the faithful of Philadelphia. And we see hereby that despite the weakness and the surrounding ruin in Philadelphia, the blessings which are specific to Philadelphia are those which are the characteristic blessing of the servant of God in general. That is to say, Philadelphia own the true and essential blessing of Christianism. We have the same by the fact that they have the position, they are a pillar in the temple of God, and the faithful of Philadelphia is also preserved from the Greek tribulation. So, but it is striking that it's only the faithful in Philadelphia who really appropriate from himself all these characteristics of blessing. I insist on this because both at the same times and during all the trouble we have gone through, and we have to be both humble and very much humiliated. Nevertheless, we have to find again the characteristic of the testimony in a time of ruin as the brethren of the very beginning.
If someone has the name on the forehead, it really shows that one's identified by his name. It's not absolutely clear in John's writings whether he's speaking of the Father or the God or the Lamb. That seemed to be rather normal for John, and I suppose that in life and nature they are one. But nevertheless, to be identified with his name is something very special. And just following on from what you say, today, only God can read that name, according to 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knows that it is. It's not always apparent. But there's coming a day when it will be apparent. And we'll be conformed to his image, and we shall all show the same name. Don't do that very well nowadays.
I would strongly prefer to see there much more than just an ID card, but really an identification with the Lord that we are serving.
All right. Well, a name isn't just simply bearing the name, but it's a description of his character and what he really is. That's manifest. That's what I have in mind. There is one section which, unless my memory has failed me, we might have just jumped. It's in verse 2. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, did we speak about that, or did we see it? That it was mentioned. What did we say about it?
The leaves were for the nations.
The leaves were for the nations, and the fruit was for God. I think that's what was said this morning.
But to be explained, why healing was necessary for the nations?
No, that was right.
Well, we have already said that the millennial future, although it's going to be a time of wonderful bliss, it's not absolutely perfect. So it's implicit that in this that healing is necessary. Now, in some cases, there's going to be judgment. There are going to be nations which are going to be crushed, utterly wasted. I think we have that. But there's also the activity that's really in the case of rebellion. But by and large, God desires to work in grace. And that's what we're having expressed here in our final chapter. Still the operations of divine grace where need arises among the many nations.
There is not a rebellion in Zechariah 14 when there is only negligence to go to worship in Jerusalem. There is a judgment and sickness as well.
Right.
Can't we not think also that these nations have gone through tribulations? And so we have heard in Psalm 147, perhaps, which corresponds with this healing of the nations.
Which verse?
Psalm 147, verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds.
It's also a reference to chapter 7, where we have the great multitude, the great crowd, and from among all the nations, and where it says in verse 16, they shall not hunger anymore, neither shall they thirst any more, nor shall the sun at all warm on them, nor any burning heat, because the Lamb which is in the midst of them shall shepherd them, and shall lead them to fountains of water of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is taking away the distress that they went through.
Mm-hmm.
There has also been the suggestion that this is for the health of the nations. Not so much that they're elderly, evil, but it just keeps them healthy.
Wondering whether we could have an answer.
We're having a lot of suggestions, but wondering whether we could have an answer.
I thought I heard this morning, there have been a few other mats, but saying that, you know, even during the initiation from before, people will grow there, because the sin tendency, they could go wrong, so there will be necessary for them to be healed. Seem to be able to say this morning, that's what I recall.
I think it's interesting to compare a verse with us now, the Ezekiel 47 verse 12. The fruit thereof speaks about the tree of life. The fruit thereof, verse 12, shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Definitely in Ezekiel 47 we are on earth. In Revelation we are in heaven in connection with the earth. The earth will be inhabited with people, with the flesh in them, with the sort of evil. The only thing different from the world today is that Satan being bound, the lust will not be initiated by the action of Satan, but the evil stays in men. So there is need for medicine, there is need for healing. As you know, sickness and all the difficulties adjacent to this is the result of sin in the world. Sin is still there. Whereas for the heavenly people, for the heavenly company, for the church, for the New Jerusalem, we're beyond this. We're glorified. No more evil. Nothing more. Yet, we're in relation with you. That's the reason why there is still place for medicine, for healing.
Sorry to run on with another question, supplementary question. It doesn't say the tree does the healing, but the leaves, which are more the external expressions of the tree itself. Now, are we to discern another symbol in this another figure, the leaves? Are they, as being the external expression, will they be God's people who are ministering this healing, or how is this to be understood? Has anyone a suggestion, or is that still an open question?
One is reminded of Isaiah when he healed the sickness of his Hezekiah. He put fig leaves on his wounds. Now, the fig tree is certainly the picture of the people of Israel, but I'm not quite sure whether it shows in any case that leaves were used in the old days for healing purposes, that they have certain substances in them produced by the trees to give healing. But here it is not the fact in itself, it is a symbolical value, a symbolical meaning, which is confirmed by what Isaiah did when Hezekiah was ill, to put fig leaves on his wounds. So it is really from the healing which comes out of the tree, but which is affected by the leaves of this tree.
Aaron, are you right in saying leaves?
According to Dowdy in chapter 38:21, Isaiah had said, let them take a cake of figs.
I'm being corrected. I'm saying
a patient came into the fig stuck on top of the boil.
Could you just...
Just one word on the Greek here, the healing, the word we understand all is therapy. The word used in the Greek, we know also in English and German and French, that is therapy. And you have three times in the New Testament, I just checked, it's in Luke 9, verse 11, where it's translated also healing, and it's translated differently in Luke 12, 42. And it bears a sort of serving, and it serves for others.
And I think that helps us to understand here, as we had it yesterday before us, the assembly, seen in the city, channel of blessing for others. And we have the tree of life, there's the fruit first, there are also the leaves, but there is some outcome of it which is for the benefit of the nations. Maybe that can be useful. Evidence of life of a tree, so it has leaves. If it has no leaves, it's a dead tree. This tree is being nourished by the water, flowing down the river. And is this really what the nations in the millennial period will need? In Zechariah 14, the nation that doesn't come out to worship is going to have a plague. There's going to be a drought, and there'll be crop failure. But this is the remedy that's supplied by the water that flows from the sanctuary or out of the throne of God of the Lamb. And it's a life-giving flow, and it's what maintains the trees in life. And so it's really what flows out from the throne of God that is going to bring the healing to the nations, isn't it? The life seen in the tree is maintained by the river, and this is what will be needed for the nations that will not go up. There will be a need for healing in that regard.
The question was raised, what should be the instruments to express that healing, to bring that healing? Maybe it's a question of priesthood, Melchizedek priesthood, which the Lord Jesus would assume in millennial times in fullness. And maybe the answer could be also for the heavenly company, for the believers, in Revelation 20 verse 6, they shall be priests of God. Initially, the priesthood was the representation of the people to God. The priest entered into the holy place. But here, in millennial times, probably this service of priesthood will initiate in heaven and bring healing to the earth, might be an answer.
There is also the consideration that the thing about the nations all through Israel's history, and has been that they were opposed to Israel. So a very big thing, there was some way that they were stopped from opposing Israel. And I think we see that in Jeremiah chapter 3, down to verse 17. Jeremiah 3 and 17. At that time, Jerusalem, the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, for the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. And they shall no more walk after the stubbornness of their evil heart. So by taking these leaves, I would submit that these nations will be in such a condition that they will not oppose Israel. That might be one way of looking at it.
Diese Heilung der Nationen ist eine Gnadenerweisung Gottes an die Menschen. Diese Heilung der Nationen ist eine Gnadenerweisung Gottes an die Menschen dieser Welt. The healing of the nations represents a matter of God showing His grace to people living here on earth.
Und Gott tut das durch das neue Jerusalem.
And in doing this, God uses the New Jerusalem Assembly.
Und das zeigt uns dann, dass die Versammlung ihren gnadenerweisenden Charakter behalten wird.
And this shows us that the Assembly will keep its character, namely the character of showing grace.
Eine ganz wichtige Stelle, um das zu zeigen.
This verse here is a very important one to prove this point.
Die Versammlung Gottes ist da, um die Gnade Gottes zu offenbaren. the sent to a license, the assembly of God exists as its purpose to show, to manifest the grace of God. Das ist jetzt wahr in dieser Zeit der Gnade, in der wir leben. This is true today in the time of grace in which we live. Aber diese Versammlung wird im Gnaden erweisen und Charakter bewahren, auch im tausendjährigen Reich. But the assembly will keep this character, namely the character of showing grace, even in the wenn auch auf eine andere Weise. Even if it will then occur in a different fashion. Was meine ich, ist eine wichtige Zeit in dieses Satzes, der Nähe von uns.
I think this is an important aspect of this phrase that we call
das Wasser und die Früchte sind für die himmlischen Bewohner.
The water and the fruit are for the heavenly inhabitants.
Aber die Blätter sind für die Menschen, die da werden.
But the leaves are for men on earth.
Das kann man sehen, weil eben die Nationen erwähnen.
This is clear, it is the nation of heaven.
Confirm the efficacy of the treatment, we might notice that sin is going to be a very rare occurrence in the world to come. A sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. We would rather indicate that as a result of this grace being shown, and in the absence of Satan to work on evil nature, then sin, our presence, will be very rare.
Just to add to what we heard from Mother Max, the importance to show the grace of God for the assembly, that is what we have in 1 Timothy, that God is the Savior God, and that is shown through the assembly in the present time, but it is also true in ending times.
The basics which we have at the beginning of this chapter is the throne of God and of the Lamb, which we have twice in verses 1 and 3, and we were reminded this morning that these are the only occurrences of this expression. The throne of God and of the Lamb. And we see here the Lamb on exactly the same level as God. The Lamb is God. But the Lamb here, it seems to me, especially characterizes this throne. When we think of kingdom or of government and of an animal to symbolize this, we would probably choose the lion. But here we do not have the lion, we have the lamb. And this reminds us of the character of the Lord Jesus, who was the one who, when reviled, did not revile again, and when treated unjustly, did not threaten. He was the one, as Isaiah 53 shows us, who did not open his mouth. And this is mentioned twice, just to show us the character of the Lamb. What a government will that be? That will be characterized by this. This is the very opposite of what we have now, where a government must impose itself by using power and perhaps violence, arms and armies. But here we have the character of the Lamb. But it will be the throne of God as well. There will be perfect power and majesty combined with this character.
In this heavenly scene in chapters 4 and 5, you see the Lamb comes, and then he's seen on the throne. Same expressions.
And
the Lamb is standing there, not sitting, standing.
Ich denke, dass die Früchte und die Blätter von Jesus sprechen.
I think that the fruits as well as the leaves speak of the Lord Jesus.
Also der Segen geht in dieser Weise nicht von der Versammlung aus. Der Versammlung ist einfach der Kanal, der den Segen vom Thron eben zu den Menschen bringt.
The assembly is not
not the source of this blessing, but Lord Jesus is the source of this blessing, and the assembly is the channel through which it comes to man.
Seine Sünden Frau ist der Fluch auf dieser Erde. Und wir wissen, dass Herr Jesus dann am Beginn des tausendjährigen Reiches diesen Fluch von der Erde wegnehmen wird.
Sin entered the world that has been cursed on this earth, and we know that the Lord Jesus will take away this curse at the beginning of the millennium.
Wir wissen aus Römer 8, dass diese Schöpfung immer noch säugt jetzt unter den Sündenbock.
We know from Romans 8 that creation is still growing because of the curse that came out of sin.
Aber eben wenn der Fluch auch weg ist, am Anfang, dann ist noch gerade im Anfang doch noch eine große Not bei den Menschen, die da eingehen ins Reich von anderen.
But even if this curse is removed, there is still great difficulties for the people who enter the millennium.
Wir haben das ja gelesen aus Ezekiel 47, wie es Sümpfe noch gibt und salzige Teiche.
We read in Ezekiel 47 how there are still the lakes and places that remain salty and will not be healed.
Aber auch diese Not wird Herr Jesus im Laufe der Zeit wegnehmen. Also die Früchte, wie haben wir gesagt, die sprechen von dem, was die himmlischen Heiligen direkt vom Herrn empfangen.
But the Lord Jesus will, as time goes by, take all these difficulties away. And we did mention that the fruits speak of the of that which the heavenly believers receive directly from the Lord.
Aber dass die Werte Heilung erwecken, heißt einfach, dass der Herr Jesus, oder nein, ich muss anfangen, dass die Menschen von dem, was der Herr Jesus wird, durch die Versammlung geheilt werden.
But the least being for the healing of the nations, this means that they will be healed through that which the Lord Jesus brings about in the assembly. I would like to mention the verse from Malachi 4, which mentions the healing.
Vers 1 spricht vom Gericht und Vers 2 von der Heilung.
Malachi 4, verse 1, speaks of judgment, and verse 2 of the healing.
How do we like that, Father?
Malachi 4, verse 2.
Malachi 4, verse 2. Aber euch, die ihr meinen Namen fürchtet, wird die Sonne der Gerechtigkeit aufgehen mit Heilung in ihren Flügeln. Und ihr werdet ausziehen und hüpfen bei den Masthelmen und so weiter.
But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the story.
Und aus 2. Samuel 23, bei den letzten Worten David, finden wir in Vers 4.
And in 2 Samuel 23, verse 4, when we come to the last words of David, we find.
Dass wir und er wird sein, wie das Licht des Morgens, wenn die Sonne aufgeht, ein Morgen ohne Wolken von ihrem Glanze nach dem Regen spross das Grün aus der Erde.
2 Samuel 23, verse 4, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even the morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing up the earth by the clear shining after rain.
But perhaps here we should distinguish between the healing which is effected on the people of Israel or rather Judah, which is mentioned in Malachi 4 or 3 at the end. That is the healing of the people of God, which we find very clearly in Isaiah 30, verse 26. I think it is a different, the subject, the objects of the healing are a different people here. In Malachi 3 in the end, or 4 in the German Bible, verse 2, and Isaiah 30, verse 26, there we see the effects of the coming of the Lord for Israel, or for Judah, rather, And the night of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be 7 hours, and the night of 7 days. In the day that Jehovah bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the wound of their stroke. And there the healing refers to the tribulation which overcomes them before. I think we should not introduce Malachi here. Here it is the healing. In Isaiah and Malachi, it is the healing of the people of God at the beginning of the millennium, when they shall be healed. But here we have the healing of the nations during the millennium, and there is a little different thought. Did we say anything about who the servants are?
No.
Well, we have in the end of the previous chapter, we had those who enter the city. I don't want to go back to that difficult question. But here, if we see the servants, naturally, in the beginning of Revelation, it is said that God has given the revelation to show his servants what the things which shortly has come to pass. But could we not hear in these servants, who are distinguished in a certain way from the city, see also a wider group than only the believers who belong to the assembly. Mm. But also here, as I suggested in the end of the previous chapter, all those who shall rule with Christ. Mm. And that is including the Old Testament saints and including the martyrs of the tribulation. And the assembly, three groups will reign with Christ. And perhaps we might see here, in contrastation with the city itself, in the servants who see his face and on whose foreheads his name is, all those who shall reign with Christ, which means it is more than the assembly. It is my thought, but it's as in the previous chapter, with a question mark.
I think globally it will be all those believers who will enjoy the first resurrection. Globally. On the four phases of the first resurrection. That's their title to the privilege of reigning with Christ.
But is it not significant that the word serving in verse 3 is priestly service? Now, I would suggest that this puts a dignity upon priestly service. The Lord may use other agents in connection with the healing, but the priestly service arises with the heavenly saints, the set men. If you're distinguishing the families, I think there's a distinctive place for those who serve as priests.
Do you think it's Melchizedek type? Blessing?
Yes.
I wonder, that priestly service, is it not according to the order of Melchizedek? You don't know, in the two priesthoods, Aaron priesthood is a priesthood of intercession and representation of the people towards God. And Melchizedek priesthood is a priesthood of blessing. And definitely here, we see the blessing of the earth through the instruments in God's hands, the assembly, and all the believers who have been part of the first resurrection.
Would we get an example of that in the end of Isaiah 66? Just an example that comes to mind. It says at the end of verse 19, that to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Would it be service of that character? Or are we to regard it more as worship, Godward? That's Isaiah 66, verse 19, but there's quite a section there, but that's just the focal point relating to the question of serving. And it looks there as in declaring the glory of God to the remote regions of the globe.
I think in the sea more in Isaiah 66, it's more the nations as instruments of helping his own earthly people. That is, I think, quite a different thought here.
Well,
all these nations are used as instrument means to bring back Israel or Judah and all them, getting back to the country. And they are and thereby they are servants of God, but only to reach his earthly goal of restituting, restoring Israel in its earthly place. That is what I think is in Isaiah 66.
My glory among the Gentiles. Rather than two.
By doing his will in as the following nations accomplish the will of God in helping Israel getting its place which it should have, and we are at the threshold of all these things. I mean, I expect the coming of the Lord every day. If we look at Israel in the Middle East, we see that things change now, and also the attitude of Europe will change toward Israel. Until now, they are quite reluctant in a way. They have more sympathy with the Arabs than with Israel. But this has to change. This leads us quite on a different another field. I just wanted to underline what we said about the servants and their priestly service in looking back to Revelation 5, the well-known passage, where we see the Lamb standing in the midst of the throne, where we see the 24 elders, those of the first part of the first resurrection, singing the new song. And what do they sing? Thou art worthy to take the book and open its seals, because thou hast been slain and hast redeemed to God by thy blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to our God kings and priests, and they shall reign over the earth. And as most of us will know, these 24 elders, the assembly in the Old Testament saints who have already been raised, do not sing this song about themselves. They sing about those who will still be slain and will still be raised. In chapter 20, verse 4, those martyrs of the tribulation who will also belong to this first resurrection and who will also reign with Christ and will accomplish this priestly service and this kingly ministry in the millennium. Many Christians think the 24 elders in the chapter 20, chapter 5, sing about themselves. But no, they sing that thou hast made us, as it is said even in some Bibles, but thou hast made. And they do not say they do not speak of themselves. Naturally, the same thing is true of themselves. But the thing is that they do not sing about themselves, but about others who might be or will be included in the servants, which we find here in verse 3 and 22.
When you speak of some Bibles, sadly it includes the Authorized Version. And in the circumstance, many are following the line of thought because of the us is in the King James, it's not in Dowie.
We have to pause there for our break.